Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those that he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate.
Excuse me, everyone, excuse, what, coming through? Hey, bro, you, suit, hi, over here. Yeah, is this the Australian parental authority?
That's correct.
Right.
Come on, have a seat.
All right. So, I was one.
How may I help you?
Yeah, okay. I was wondering if I could apply for a father's license, because the wife and I, we want to start a family.
You know you didn't need to come in for that. It's actually all done online these days.
Whoa. Wait, you can become a dad online?
No, you complete the application online. I can see you're struggling with this. Would you like some coaching? Some help, perhaps?
Nah, I mean, it's... Look, I don't think...
It is free.
Oh, well then sure, can't help.
Okay, let's see here. Have you been pregnant previously?
What?
Sorry, wrong form. yes. Question one. Do you have a copy of your planned domestic curriculum with summary and delineated positive outcomes?
No.
Question two. Do you know what question one means?
No.
Question three. Have you any previous experience at parenting?
Oh, yeah. There was one time I helped. I mean, I changed my nephew's nappy once, you know, did that.
And how was that?
I was wet.
Not the nappy, the experience. How was the experience?
Not much better.
Okay. Question four. Discuss your remedial plan for adolescent noncompliance.
My who for what
let
where?
Me make this, I'll make this a little simpler for you, shall I? When your child misbehaves, what would you do?
Oh, belt them.
Belt them? Belt them? You can't write that. It's the wrong answer.
Okay. Yeah, it's the wrong answer, yeah, but it's the right solution.
I've got to say, I'm a bit concerned. Are you actually ready for this?
Oh, no. My wife says I've got to be. Ooh, was that question five?
No, that was a freebie. Question five. If you send your child to private school and you find the cost prohibitive, which you probably would, what alternatives have you prepared?
Look, to be honest, we can't even afford preschool, let alone the rest.
Okay, well, we'll try something a little simpler. Question six. Have you chosen some names for the child?
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, David. Yeah. Or Michael. It's a good name. But 50-50, could be a girl, right? So, Susan. Or maybe even Jennifer.
They're a bit old-fashioned, aren't they? Have you tried something more, I don't know, trendy, like turpentine? Or anthrax? But I do hear that doorbell is quite popular lately.
Oh, that's got a ring to it, that
it
one.
It does, it does. It kind of lets you know that they're here.
Yeah.
Okay, in the event that you and your wife separate for any reason, what custody plan do you have?
Look, mate, I think I've had enough, okay? Just, look, these questions, yeah, kind of stupid.
Oh, no, let me encourage you. There's only 170 to go. And when you do complete that, as long as you get a 70% pass rate, we can enroll you in the Digital Dad course. That means you can actually be away from home up to 130 nights a year and parent online, where you can use things like FaceTime and Skype. You can, like, talk to your child without actually being there, but you are still connected.
Whoa. Are you suggesting that I store my future children in the cloud?
Yes. It's wonderful. Look at this. See.
Whoa. Look. I don't think you quite understand how this whole thing works. I mean, do you have an app for, I don't know, tucking in your kids at night? Do you have an app for that? Or how about spending time in the park? Do you have an app for that? Nah, see, you don't. See, look, thank you. Thanks. It's a waste of time, okay? It's a waste of time. So, thanks.
But wait. What plan do you have?
You know what? I don't have a plan. But you know what I will do? I'm going to spend as much time with my kids as possible, and I'm going to love them unconditionally. Yeah. And I'm even going to pray for them. That is my plan.
Wait. Do you have an app for that one? Can you tell me where that app is? Is it on here? Is it...
Well, happy Father's Day, Dads. On the strength of that, we should just go home. That's it. In a nutshell, really, isn't it? Pray. Sometimes that prayer is, help. But there you go. Well done. Because today is Socks, Jocks and Building of Legend Day, is it not? That is what today is. Today is the day where you dads get to do what you are naturally gifted at. Dad jokes. You know that video that we put together with Keith and his boys? My small group spent the next night, we met on Monday nights, repeating those jokes and then adding other jokes and saying how they'd use those jokes, and their wives just sat there going, this is what we get to do today. You have a free pass. And so, you know, when a child says to you sometime today, which no doubt one will, Dad, I'm hungry. Pleased to meet you. Hungry, I'm Dad. Or, Dad, can you make me a sandwich? Halakazoo, you're a sandwich. Dad, would you like a coffee? Sure. Hey, boy, you're getting that. Do you know how Moses makes coffee? He brews. See, you're taking notes now to use those, right? Particularly in the front row here, yeah. Listen, as good as all of that gets, the best part of the day is actually not dad jokes or the groans that go with it, though. It's up on the list. It's not the food or the fuss, because to be quite frank, most dads could do without the fuss, not the food. The big thing about today is knowing that you're a dad. And you've already been given the best gifts that there are because you have children. And they are a terrific gift. You've known that, Dads, from the very moment you saw your child, all of them. Right from the moment that you held your child, from the moment he or she was born, you realized how small they were, how warm and gurgly they are. And then you may remember at that moment seeing your wife's tender smile as she watched you hold your child. That warm smile that's full of joy made your heart beat so fast you thought your chest would just burst. And your children keep being gifts to you because there's all the firsts. There's the first steps where you let them hold your hands, your fingers like this, as you let them take their first steps. There are the first steps, their first words, which often is dad. Then there's their first burp. You know, none of that little regurgitated thing, a proper burp, one with resonance. You go, I'm proud that that's my child. Even more so if it's a girl that comes out with one of those. That's one of those rip across the dining room table. And then you see them pick up some of your ways. And the gift, you're reminded again of the gift that they are. So a number of years ago now, about maybe 10, I'm getting prepared for State of Origin. Sitting down, got everything done, you know, meat pie, mushy peas, gravy, tomato sauce, that kind of stuff, Maltesers, chips, everything needed for health and for watching the game. I'm sitting down watching that, and then all of a sudden this voice from over this side of the family room goes, that's it, I've had enough. I have had enough. And I thought, what? And it got my attention for a little bit. There was a little commercial, so I went over here, and there's my wife, totally frustrated. Look at that, she says. I'm thinking, I am trying to look at this. Shh, no, look at that. There you are, all of you. There's the two boys and our daughter and you and the dog watching the State of Origin. I give up. For 20 years, I've been trying to not have this happen. We all just kept looking at the screen. We think she went to another room. And when she did, I went, yes, they've picked up all my stuff. Very important point in our history. Of course, it's not all pure joy with the gifts, is it? There are experiences that remind you that your children are gifts and they are precious gifts. Like the nights of high temperatures and the dashes to the hospital. The news comes of a car accident or a breakup with a boyfriend. There's the day your daughter goes to her first mixed party. Remember that? Those of you with daughters remember this. Those of you without daughters again, what's the problem? Well, you're the problem because you... Not your, taught your sons certain things. And I remember what it was like because my first lot of mixed birthday parties and stuff, I was not converted. So I remember exactly what it was like to let your daughter, your precious daughter, go to some other person's party. Or there's your son's wedding where he's making his own way in the world. You gain a daughter, that is true. But your son no longer lives with you. And at the end of all the festivities, you find yourself sitting in his bedroom reflecting on all the years of all the gift that he has been. Now, I'm aware for some dads here, there is a deep pain and deep distress for a number of reasons. For some, a child has turned their back on you and has not spoken to you for months or perhaps years. For some, a child may have passed away, and so the anguish of today is just deep. For some men in this room, they would dearly love to have been fathers, but for whatever reason, have not yet been able to have children, and so today is a kind of a, let's get on with it, let's get over it. If you are any of those men, I am really glad you decided to join us today. It's my prayer that you might hear something about the Christian God that nourishes your soul, and that you might find some solace in the God who offers you to call him Heavenly Father. That's my hope for you today. And with your permission, I'd like to turn back to dads and to reflect a little bit more on the gift that children are. If you're a grandfather, then you are particularly blessed. Psalm 120 tells us that when you live to see your children's children, you are indeed blessed. And I hope that you enjoy all the gifts that you get, but particularly the gifts that your children are. But more than that, I want to offer you two strategies for increasing your joy and for bringing you greater security. Two strategies to increase your joy and bring you greater security. The two strategies are this. One, think like a warrior. And secondly, lean into your Heavenly Father. Think like a warrior, lean into your Heavenly Father. Think like a warrior. the psalm that was read out to us, Psalm 127, says that children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And it's a blessed man who has a quiver full of them, the psalm says. Now, up to the other day, my experience with arrows was limited to Geronimo on black and white television, if you remember that, and then playing cowboys and Indians in the backyard, $2 arrows from the $2 shop, that kind of thing. That was my total exposure and experience of arrows. I walked into church this morning with this, and somebody said, well, I can't give you a bow for that. You haven't got any hair. And I thought, so I get onto the... I didn't make that up. Someone said that to me. I was no warrior with a bow or an arrow, and so I consulted the granddaddy of tutors. I went to YouTube. And there I searched for arrow making just to see what had happened. I'm fascinated by what is on there. There are men who have this wonderful crafting skill and can take a stick, shape it into a shaft, and then add the fletches, the feathers, and then add the nock, and then add the arrowhead and make sure it's well balanced and it is straight. And if it's not straight, they give it a twist and a tweak to make sure it's ready for flight. The YouTube videos that I watched went for 14, 15 minutes while a man took a stick and turned it into a complete arrow. It is a wonderful craft to look at. And I was so enamored with it, I thought, I wonder if there are archery shops anywhere in Sydney. To my delight, I found one in Carrington Avenue, just at Castle Hill. And so I thought I'd go and have a look at it. And it's not a hole-in-the-wall shop. It's a massive complex. There are bows of all sizes. There are arrows of all standards. There's clothing and stuff to buy. There are books, instructional DVDs. There are really helpful staff there who talk to me about how an arrow is made, how it is shot, why it will go to its target the way it will. They said, you know, when you shoot an arrow, you don't aim straight at the target, you aim a little off because in flight it will do a kind of a bend and twist all the way through. And it's a bit like, you know, when you watch men kick a goal in the rugby league or the rugby union nowadays, it often has a curve and they'll bring it back around. The arrow flies through the air, not dead straight, but a whoop and a waffle and a curve before it hits its target. And a warrior knows that. A warrior knows how to craft his arrow to get it into that kind of condition so that when it leaves the bow, it will hit the target. Dad, you have been given at least one gift. You may have a quiver full of these arrows, for you have sons and/or daughters. To bring the best out of them, you need to think like a warrior and have your hands shape each child so that they will fly true and they will make their mark on the world. When we do this, the psalm says in verse 5, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate. In the psalm, the focus here is on sons, because in the ancient world, sons were really needed for security, particularly of all families. And so walking into the city where all the business was done, if a man walked in with his strapping sons beside him, then anyone who wanted to give the man some cheek or wanted to give him a coward punch or wanted to take him down, he'd have to think twice because there are two boys or three boys or a quiver full of young men either side. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of sons. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate. Having said that it's sons in the Old Testament, in our world, I've observed that daughters can be just as fearsome when someone takes on their dad. If you want to test that out, next time my daughter's home, have a shot. I'll give you a free shot and I'll watch and see what happens. Such a man or such a woman who can stand beside their dad is someone who's been shaped by a man with a warrior's mind. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons and daughters born to him. Now, while there's a bit of a joke, it kind of came out in that drama that mothering takes a lifetime, fathering 30 seconds. The truth is that fathering takes a lifetime of engagement with each and every child. So dads, take the time. Take the time to be a warrior and to think well and to craft your children well. A warrior knows how to make arrows so that they would fly right to the target. He would take the time to prepare them, even polishing the shaft so that it would enhance the flight and the accuracy. And where necessary, they would sharpen the arrowhead, repair the fletching, sharpen the head itself, and straighten the bow. Take time to instill, therefore, wisdom in your children. What exactly do you teach them? Well, broadly speaking, teach them a path on which they can walk. For example, teach them that character is much more significant than the click of a selfie. Teach them to develop a solid life with a sound mind. Developing a solid life and a sound mind is far more significant than developing the right pout or surly look for social media. Teach them to be good friends rather than rack up thousands of virtual friends. Teach them to respect their elders, even their school teachers, anyone who is older than them. Teach them that to stand, physically stand, when someone older walks into their presence as a sign of respect and honor, rather than mouth off because that young one has an opinion to share. Teach them why and how to love and to serve others, even to sacrificing some of their income to care for the poor in our city and overseas. Teach them to follow the warrior who fought the most significant of battles so that we might be liberated from sin and its effects. Teach them to follow Jesus, because Jesus' teaching offers words of life. His teaching is solid ground into which you can anchor your life. His teacher offers a consistent and comprehensive view of the world that you can build a life on. Now, dads, you know that your children will learn more from who you are and how you are than from what you say. They will see the path that we walk on, and then they will decide whether they will follow us or not. If our words line up with our who we are and how we behave, they will follow. So teach them well. As they see you and me interact with and love our wives, they will learn how to treat a wife of their own if they are sons, and they will have an expectation of what a husband will be if they are daughters. So, dads, date your daughters. Date your daughters. Treat her as the precious gift she is. Open the car door for her so she may get in. Pull out the chair for her at the restaurant so she may take a seat. Introduce her to the art of ordering and savoring food. Give thanks for the food that you're about to eat in the middle of the restaurant. Pay for the bill without fuss. Take her for a walk, arm in arm, after the meal. At the end of the night, thank her for allowing you to take her out. You might even begin the date by giving her flowers and carefully, wisely, gently asking if she is ready for a night out. As you do this, your daughter will come to value what it means to be treated as a precious gift, and she will settle for nothing less. Which takes the worry off the table about having some bloke turn up who can't keep his pants up above his waist, who can't string a sentence together, who talks to you in reverent tones, not, hey mate. But they talk to you and treat you well because your daughter will select such a man to come into your home. And as your sons see how you go about treating your daughter and your wife, they will learn how to treat another man's precious gift. And your family is a microcosm of society. Your family has different ages, different genders, different roles, personalities. As you guide your kids through life, they learn how to relate to introverts, extroverts, the gregarious, the shy, someone older, someone of the opposite sex. As you engage with your family and your children like this, dads, you will be warriors who will turn sticks into arrows and your children will make a significant mark on the world to your great delight. When I was thinking about this years ago and talking to a friend of mine, he said to me at one point, lowered his head and he said, I guess I've missed the boat with my daughters. All he had were daughters. He had a tribe of them. And he was quite distressed about it because he thought that he dropped the ball with every single daughter almost every year. I said, no. While there's breath, there's hope, folks. While there's breath, there's hope. And so he got about the kind of things that we've just spoken about with his daughters, and they've gone on to become fine young women. If by chance you've dropped the ball in any of this, Dad, and who has not dropped the ball, be a warrior. Confront your fear, confront your failure, and apologize to your kids and ask them if you could have a fresh start. When you do that, your kids will experience a man is in their presence. A man big enough to admit his sin, a man enough to seek forgiveness and reconciliation, and such interactions leave a deep, positive impression on all your children. It teaches them a very rare characteristic in our world of hubris and self-absorption, because you will teach them humility. And there is nothing like a man who walks humbly before God and before men. And when you invest in your kids like this, the psalm says, you will not be put to shame. You, Dad, will never be put to shame. That is, you can rest easy, you can relax, because you have children to the right and to the left. Not as a kind of private militia to go and do damage to your enemies or anyone who upsets you, but so that you will not be ashamed or humiliated when you deal with government departments or telcos or anybody else who wants to rip off someone who is older. My wife and I spend almost interminable hours dealing with government departments and telcos on behalf of our aging mums. We spent a lot of time asking bright sparks at the other end of the phone what wisdom has possessed them to treat our mothers such. My mum went into a telco once with a simple question about a smart device. She walked out with a whole complete new suite of smart devices of the opposite kind. I can't remember whether she went in with an Android and came out with Apples or whether she went in with an Apple and came out with Androids. I could not believe it. And there was a massive bill to go with that. It was all I could do to contain myself getting on a flight and going up and confronting some young smart person on the other end of a counter. It took a while to sort it out. But I did not want my mum to be shamed or humiliated by some bright spark. That's what is the result of a man who raises his children like a warrior crafts arrows. To have sons and daughters around you when someone wants to shame you or rip you off, when you age or when you feel wearied because you've walked across the planet a few years, you can relax in confidence because you will be in safe hands. This is a rich blessing, and it's much better than worrying they will stick you with themselves rather than stick someone else. In other words, if you dads shape a stick to become an arrow, if you treat them like such, then they will look after you and shoot your enemies rather than shoot you. So invest in your children, think like a warrior. Second strategy is to lean into our Heavenly Father. Dads, the security you experience with your children is given great depth when you acknowledge that children are a gift from the Bible's God. Did you see that here in Psalm 127, verse 3? Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from Him. Children are a gift. This is evidence that the God of all heaven and earth is looking out for you. Just as you provide gifts for your children, our Heavenly Father provides children to you as gifts. And He does that because He delights in you. And children are not the only provision. He watches over us to establish our homes, our communities, to give us work, food, and sleep. See that? Let me read to you verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, its laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen guard in vain. In vain you rise early, stay up late, toiling for food to eat. But He grants sleep to those He loves. In other words, God is the provider of all good things. Here is the key to deep security. and it is leaning in to the God of the Bible. Leaning into the one who provides these good gifts is crucial for living the best of all possible lives. Now, sure, you can be very successful before your peers, your family, and even in our time without acknowledging God. History is full of men like this. They end up with their war cry is, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Though I'm not sure what they win. And also, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And the toys are left for children and taxmen to fight over. So I don't know what they win. More than that, to live a life without acknowledging God is to die without hope. Without hope of life beyond death's door. To live life without reference to the Bible's God is to live a life that is vain and empty and in the end amounts to nothing. And right here is a sober backdrop to this ancient psalm. Do you see it? If you've got your Bibles there, look at the very beginning. Just before verse 1, there will be a few words that read, "A song of ascents of Solomon." Of Solomon. We're not sure whether King David wrote this for his son, Solomon, or whether Solomon wrote this for everybody. But it's got Solomon's name to it, and Solomon stands in the shadows of this psalm. He was given so much fame. He was given so much fortune that it was said of Solomon, he made silver as common as stones by the roadside. He was given so much wisdom that the world beat a path to his door. Everybody wanted to learn from Solomon. If any man had success in life, it was Solomon, but his life did not end well. We're told in the Bible that he had 700 wives. And because that was not enough, he added 300 concubines, 1,000 women in his life. Here's a question. How many children did Solomon have? Three that we know of. Two daughters and a son. Why were there only three? Was he not? I have questions. 1,000 women, was he not intimate with any of them? Except maybe three? Were they all trophy wives? Like he had this huge hall and there was a trophy cabinet. We don't know. It could have been that. Maybe he had sons and daughters, just that their names are not recorded. But that leads me to a question, because kings in the Bible, their sons and daughters were listed by the truckload. Solomon has three that we know of. Maybe the answer is found somewhere else, and maybe it's, I'm trying to figure it out, and this is the best answer I've got so far, that in 1 Kings chapter 11, we're told Solomon built for all of his wives, 1,000 women, he built for all of them altars and shrines where they could worship their gods and offer sacrifice. Some of the gods named, in particular Molech, were known to be gods that you offered live child sacrifices to. It was a gruesome affair. Were Solomon's offspring offered as sacrifices to pagan gods? Maybe. Maybe not all of them. Whatever. Maybe God just didn't want to have them listed, because what Solomon was doing was turning his back on God and walking away. And God didn't want to have any record of any of Solomon's descendants, save three. Solomon stands ominously in the shadows of the psalm, because the psalm says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen guard in vain. In vain do you work long hours. In vain do you do all of that, toil away for food. In vain do you do that, and you can't sleep." That's what's happened to Solomon. All that he achieved, his success, his wealth, his fame, his fortune, it all came to naught. The kingdom was ripped out of his hands by God and given to another. All his life was vanity, because Solomon did not acknowledge the God who gives good gifts. Now, we're not sure whether Solomon turned back to God or not. The Bible doesn't tell us. I hope he remembered God's words, which were, "When my people who are called by my name humble themselves and repent of their sin and confess their sin, I will forgive their sin and heal their land." I hope Solomon remembered that. Robert Robinson was well known as the writer of the great hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." The opening words are, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love." Like Solomon though, Robert Robinson turned his back on our Heavenly Father and decided to ignore the fact that God gives good gifts. And then a verse in Robert Robinson's hymn became prophetic. "O to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter or like a chain, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above." The story goes, one day he was riding in a stagecoach and a lady opposite him was humming her way through a book of hymns, and she stopped at one point and asked the man across the seat what he thought of the hymn that she was now humming. And he said, "Madam, I am that poor unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy those feelings that I had back then." We don't know if Robert Robinson came back, but this we know, or we can know. When we dads turn back to our Heavenly Father, we can know that. If you have wandered, he says, "Streams of grace and mercy still flow. Come, and I will give you good gifts." If you have never bowed your knee to the Christ, the warrior, with open hands he calls and says, "Come and receive streams of grace and mercy. Come and see that every good gift, your children, your home, your employment, your food, come from my hand, come to me, and you will live a life that is otherwise simply not possible, and I will give you sleep." As we think about those kind of things, we have the gift of Shelley Moore, who is from Tennessee. She's going to sing for us this morning.
Sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready, he stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. And come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify. In true belief and true repentance, and every grace that brings you nigh, I will rise and go to Jesus, and he will embrace me in his arms. Thousand charms. And come ye weary and heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. And I will rise and go to Jesus, and he will embrace me in his arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. I will rise and go to Jesus, and he will embrace me in his arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior,
Shelley will be singing at a concert next Saturday afternoon here for the Sisterhood Conference. So I encourage you to get along to that. If we come to Jesus and take up the Heavenly Father's offer of grace and mercy, if we lean into him, he promises to give us sleep. And we can sleep because we know that our Heavenly Father is providing all the good gifts we need. We don't need to worry about the mortgage, the bills, the children's education. We don't need to worry about where the next meal's coming from, because our Heavenly Father promises to provide all good gifts to his children. We can then be freed up from what is called the blasphemous anxiety to do God's work for him. And when we're freed from that, we get to relax, and he gives us sleep. Dads, if you live like that, you will further shape your children, who will learn that it is possible to live a radically different life to that touted by media and social media. It will be possible to live a life of such rich and warm meaning and purpose that they will be freed from vanity and hubris. And it is possible for them to live a life in a community that nourishes souls, rather than one where you have to fight for life in a rat race, knowing that it is only rats that win those races. So dads, you've been gifted. Into your hands are placed children who are like arrows, so think like a warrior. Lean into your Heavenly Father, and you will never be put to shame.